Interesting. Varadashra. There's an advantage of being the first speaker, and there's an advantage of being the second speaker. The advantage of being the first speaker is you can be sure that if somebody preceded you, they're not going to say what you have to say, and you end up having prepared something that you can't deliver to the tzibur. So I'm grateful to Rabbi Zach, not that I could ever think of filling his shoes, but our souls might be kindred, and I might therefore have found that he touched on points that I would like to touch upon. Truth of the matter is that knowing Rabbi Shapiro, who we refer to as Uncle Shia, it's very difficult to find the words or to find the appropriate message to try to encapsulate who he was and what he stood for. Not because he was an enigma and not because he was a secretive personality, but because he represented something that L'davonenu, I think, almost no longer exists in this world. The pasuk that we say, David Mizmor, which we add to Ma'ariv on Rosh Hashanah, David HaMelech asked, Mi Yale Bahar Hashem, who is it that will be worthy of coming up to Har Hashem? David HaMelech at the time thought that he was going to build the Beis HaMikdash. David HaMelech was convinced that as the choice of Melech, of the fulfillment of the mitzvah of appointing a Melech, he could go on to the next stage in the life of Klal Yisrael and build the Beis HaMikdash. And he had the plans to build the Beis HaMikdash. Unfortunately, he was not able to bring them to fruition. It was only through his son Shlomo. But David HaMelech is the one who characterizes what the Beis HaMikdash will be and who will be worthy of coming to the Beis HaMikdash. And who is it that David HaMelech sees as being worthy of entering the Beis Hashem? Is it the greatest Talmidei Chachamim of Am Yisrael? Is it the greatest Tzaddikim of Am Yisrael? Is it the greatest Chassidim? Is it the greatest Gomel Chesed? Are the people who were fulfilling the needs of the Tzibur, are they the ones who David HaMelech envisages coming into this Beis HaMikdash? No. Nekicha Payim Ubar Leipov, David HaMelech says. Person of pure hands, of clean hands, Ubar Leivov, and of a heart that's Tocho Kiboru. And I think if there is any pasuk in all of Tanakh that can show us who Yoshua Tzvi Michal ben Ramesh Eliezer Shapiro was, I think that is the description that I would humbly suggest fit him to a T. Neki Chapayim Ubar Leivov. There was a cleanliness about him, a purity about him, in his ben Odom lechavero, in his ben Odom lemakom, and even more so, in a third element that exists in a person that we usually don't refer to. There was a Yid in Yerushalayim, his name was Rabbi Binyamin Rabinowitz Teumim. He was the grandson of Yanderis, Rav Kook's son-in-law, an editor of the Encyclopedia Talmudis. He's a tremendous Talmud Chacham. And I had the good fortune when I was studying here in Yeshiva to spend many Shabbosos with him. And he once told me, he said, as I was leaving him to go back to America, he told me, he said, you should have nachas. Your parents should have nachas from you. And the Ribbono Shel Olam should have nachas from you. And most importantly, you should have nachas from yourself. Have nachas from yourself is a tremendous, tremendous mitzvah. It's a tremendous accomplishment. Because it means that you are a neki kapayim ubar leibov, that you are with clean hands, that nothing that you have touched has ever sullied them, nothing has ever dirtied them, nothing has ever brought you to the point where you have done something that has cheated someone else or that has in any way brought pain to anyone else. That's the Niki Kapayim. And the Bar Leva of the person who is pure of heart, the person who is Toho Kuboro, who is not, doesn't pretend, doesn't act, doesn't put on airs, doesn't try to be something that he's not. That's the Bar Leva. But when those two are put together, that is the person who can have nachas from himself. I'd like to add an halacha, not a strange halacha, I don't know how to say that, but a fascinating piece in the Rambam, very briefly, which I think also serves to encapsulate who our Uncle Shia, who Avi and Carmi's father, Avi's father-in-law, was. Fairly familiar halacha. The Rambam says, "V'shevach gadol lashov." It's a great praise, or it's a great source of merit for the person who is doing tshuva, sheyisvade berabim, that he should admit his sin publicly. V'yodia pshoev lohem, u'megale avero shevenu leven chaveru l'acherim. And he openly confesses his sins, that which he has done to other people. Not only does he do tshuva, not only does he have remorse, not only does he accept upon himself that he will not do it again, but he also is mizvada, he has the courage to go over to the fellow who he sinned against and say that he sinned. The omer lehem omnom chotosi leploni, v'yosisi lo kach v'kach, v'hareni yon shavu miznachim. And I regret that which I did, and this is what I did. V'chola mizgoe v'enu mudia, and someone who's proud, who can't bring himself to go over to the person who he's wronged, who has remorse, regrets what he's done, but physically is incapable of going over to that other person and saying, look, not only did I did you wrong, but this is what I did to you. This is the harm I've caused you. You may not even know about it, but I have caused you damage. And I regret the fact that I did you damage, and I shouldn't have done it, and I promise never to do it again. That takes a tremendous amount of character. That takes a tremendous amount of strength. And somebody who's proud and can't bring himself to do that, elam mechaseh pshoev, but rather he covers up his sins. Not that he doesn't have remorse for them, not that he doesn't have regret, not that he hasn't done tshuva, but he's mechaseh pshoev, he's covering up that which he's done. Ein tshuvas gemurah. Shenemar mechaseh pshoev lo yasliach. Somebody who covers up his sins will not be successful. But medvarim amurim, the Rambam says, be'avero shebein odom lechavero. This only has to do with sins that are interpersonal. Something that one did to someone else. Avero shebein odom lemokom. But when it comes to sins between man and God, eino tzarech lefarsei matzmo, there is no reason for him to publicize the sin. Moreover, the Rambam adds, the azlus ponim hiloim gila. It's chutzpah to get up and reveal them. If I did something wrong, ben adam lemokom, I ate a cheeseburger. So if I go to Bezdin, or I get up on Erev Yom Kippur, and in front of the entire tzibur, I say, I have to admit, Rabbosai, that I ate a cheeseburger, or I ate chalev, or I did another Beit Olam Lamokom. So the Rambam says, if I admit that publicly, it's Azuspon. That's Chutzpah. Now, why is it Chutzpah? What's the Chutzpah? I mean, I have remorse. So I think that there are two levels over here. One is, why would you think that anybody has to know? They're not giving you forgiveness. It's between you and God. So there's a certain Azusponim of saying, look at what a great penitent I am. Even though I sinned, and nobody else besides God knows that I sinned, but I am such a great man, and I am so frug, and I am such a great chassid, and I am such a great tzaddik, that I want the entire world to know that I sinned and that I am now about tshuva. Well, you're not about tshuva, the Rambam says you're not a spawn. You're a mechutzah. The other level, I think, is that where in the world did you have the gall to violate God's will? Where did you have the chutzpah? You know, mainly you hurt somebody else, you took advantage of somebody else, you stole from somebody else. you did something wrong to somebody else, get a taiva. But what kind of taiva could you possibly have to violate that which the Ribbono Shel Olam asked you? You're talking about God. And who do you think you are? So if you did it, at least have the courtesy to keep quiet. I'm in a shul. I really probably shouldn't quote it, but there was a comic, a comedian who taught in Harvard. Taught math in Harvard. I think it was Tom Lehrer. He was a mathematician who also played music and did musical comedy. He was very, very funny. One of the things he said is that he can't stand people who can't communicate. And people who can't communicate should at least have the common decency to shut up. And say, who are you to admit to God or to admit to Beis Din that you sinned to God? I think the Rambam is very, very clear. Let him go off into the corner, let him say vidui quietly. He just says, I'm a sinner. He says, Vashanu bagadu. V'tovi ilo shalo nizgalo avono. Shenemar ashrei nesoi pesha kisui cheta. Praised is he who has sinned, but has covered up his faith. The Rambam, the Ravid, surprisingly disagrees with the Rambam. And the Ravid says as follows. Right? The Rambam ruled that when are you allowed to be megala, when are you allowed to reveal the sin that you have done? That's only in a ben adam l'chaver. Amar Abraham, v'chein averos hamufursamos umegulos. If they're things that people know about, af al pi she'enanim chavero, even though they are not within the criteria of a ben adam l'chavero, shekamo shenisparsem hachet, kach tzarech lefarsem hatshuva. Interesting lashon of the writer. The same way that there is a mitzvah to be mefarsem the chet in a ben adam l'chavero, now he wants to carry it over to a ben adam l'makom as well. Why? Because kein tzarech lefarsem hatshuva. Because what's going to happen if people don't know what you did? If these are chata'im before samim, if these are sins that everybody is aware of. People saw you driving on Shabbos. People saw you going into McDonald's. People saw you doing things that you shouldn't have done. And you come to shul, Erev Yom Kippur, and you clap Hashanu Bagadu just like anybody else, but you pretend that you're just like everybody else as well. And you don't say anything about it. The Ravid says, that's a Chilul Hashem. Because you have to tell people, they're going to think, right, that you don't have the courage to get up and say, you're a Mechallel Shabbos, and now you don't want to do that anymore. You're not really doing tshuva. You're saying Hashamnu Bagadnu Gazalnu because you want to be counted like everybody else in shul. You want to be part of the minyan. You want to get all the advantages of being part of the tribe, of being part of the club, and you don't want to pay the price. You don't want people, you're not really changing anything. So it's very interesting. The Ravid seems to assume, this is the case of Mishnah, the Lechem Mishnah both seem to agree, that the problem over here that the Ravid says is in this Bein Odom Lamakom, if you don't do tshuva publicly, then there's going to be something wrong with the tshuva. What is wrong here with the tshuva? That you prevented a Kiddush Hashem. You made a Chilul Hashem because they were Devarim before Shavim. Because you sinned against God in a public way, and if you don't rectify that with a public Kiddush Hashem, of putting yourself into a position that's embarrassing, of putting yourself into a position where people understand what you did and wait for your remorse, if you are Monea, a Kiddush Hashem over here, then what you have done, according to the Ravid, is that you have kept the Chilul Hashem going. The Chilul Hashem has not been taken out of this world. Truth of the matter is that I don't want to go too long. So Machlokas and Gemara and Yuma, which would seem to be the two approaches over here, between the Ravid and the Rambam. Why do I quote this tonight? Other than the fact that it's an interesting rabbi than Rambam, and perhaps we learned a little bit of Divrei Torah in the schus of the Niftar. Neki kapayim ubar leivav. Clean hands and a pure heart. Those were the elements that brought Uncle Shia, in my mind, to the Pesach of the Beis Hashem, to having the entry ticket, right, the reserved seating, if you will, in the Beis Hashem. But what opened the door was his constant concern and the way he lived his life to make sure that nothing he ever did was a Chilul Hashem and that everything that he did was a Kiddush Hashem. His whole life was a Kiddush Hashem. Not in the, you know, we have a picture of Kiddush Hashem, either of Mesiras Nefesh, right, of being taken out to be shot, okay, because we're Jews, or taken out to be killed, that's Kiddush Hashem. But Kiddush Hashem is also in the way that you treat the grocer, and Kiddush Hashem is also the way that you treat the person who fills your car up with gas, and Kiddush Hashem is the way that you treat your cleaning lady, and Kiddush Hashem is the way that you treat the Filipino who in your old age is taking care of you. And to watch Uncle Shia interact with other people was a life lesson in what Kiddush Hashem was. It was a schus to be part of the family, of his family, of his extended family. It was a schus that we had to have had him with us for so many years. It was a schus to him to have children and grandchildren who were so devoted to him, who I think saw that nekuda, who saw that point of neki kapayim ubar levov, and a person who dedicated his life to being mekadesh shem shamayim barabim. Bila amavos lanesach was tzitzul davar.